So let's go into our teaching tonight. I'm very excited. This is a huge topic. Anybody who's been part of Oceanside School of the Bible, I think I say that every Tuesday night, but to do the entire Old Testament and look at the Holy Spirit is just a huge assignment. So we're going to need His grace. So let's pray together before we start into that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the grace you give us. Lord, we just depend on you when you have told us in your word that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. Lord, we are depending on you. We're asking you to be our teacher tonight, even now. Lord, we don't want this to be about wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Lord, I don't want to do this by might. We don't want to do this by strength. But by your Holy Spirit, Lord, this will be accomplished. Lord, I specifically pray for the moments that each of these students will have with you this week, Lord. I just sense those are so much more important than even this Tuesday night class, Lord. That there'll be an intimacy and a new revelation that you'll be showing each one as they look at your word and as they reflect and as they read, Lord. I just am so excited about what you're going to do, Lord. And so, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the leadership. And, Lord, open our hearts. Open our minds tonight as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you got a Bible in some form, get ready. It's Bible fingers tonight. How far you figure you have to read into the Bible if you start from the beginning before the Holy Spirit shows up? Two verses. Two verses and the Holy Spirit shows up. So if you're starting from the beginning, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So right out of the chutes, we see the Holy Spirit involved in the creation process with the Father and with the Son. A couple of sort of understandings that I want you to know of, and you'll pick it up real quickly. We'll see it as we go through the course, but at our church, we believe the Holy Spirit is God. He is part of the Trinity. He's the same God that Jesus is God, and he's the same God that the Father is God. So there's three persons in the Godhead, but there's still one God. So we believe the Holy Spirit is God. We believe the Holy Spirit is personal. He has a will. He gives gifts. He can be grieved. You know, he's a personality. So many times I'll hear people talk about the Holy Spirit as it. You know, and I know where that's from, but you wouldn't appreciate that if someone was referring to you as it. You know, we are people, we're personalities, and we believe the Holy Spirit is a personality. We'll see as we go through each week, you'll see more and more of that. And then also believe the Holy Spirit is eternal. He's not created. He's not like the angels, not like you and I that had a beginning and have an end. The Holy Spirit's eternal because he's God. So there's a couple of things, but right out of the beginning, we see the Holy Spirit, verse 2 in the Bible, hovering over the waters or brooding over the waters, involved in creation right from the very beginning. So what was the Holy Spirit up to in the Old Testament? This is kind of a strange topic because when we think about the Holy Spirit, we always jump right to Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and the birth of the church and, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14. And these are great places to go because these are super critical scriptures. But what I want you to see tonight is this is not a new deal. The Holy Spirit didn't just show up in Acts. Holy Spirit has been here from the very beginning. And the more I looked at this and started to study this in the last month or so, I was blown away about how much the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. So what was he up to? What did he do in the Old Testament? A number of things. We'll look at them in no particular order. The Holy Spirit came on individuals for leadership. It's one of the things you'll see a lot through the Old Testament. Number 17, if you want to turn there tonight. Kind of a fun story. This is recounting the nation of Israel. I got a new Bible for Christmas. And does anybody know how fast you are at a new Bible? Not very, so don't expect any super fast sword drills from me tonight. But Numbers 11:17. This is a great scripture because it's talking about what the Lord was doing in Moses' life. And the Lord says to Moses in 17, He says, I will come and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that's on you, and I will put it on them, meaning some of these leaders that God had called out to lead the nation in the desert. He said, I'll take some of that spirit that's on you, and I'll put it on them, and they'll bear the burden of the people, so you'll not have to bear it alone. And you go down to verse 25, and you see in 25, the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. As soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. The great thing about this is two of the guys didn't come to the meeting. I don't know what the deal was. They were sick, or, you know, I've had enough church this week. I don't want to go to another meeting. I don't know what the deal was, but it's fun because in verse 26, now two men remained in the camp, Eldad and the other was Medad, and the spirit rested on them. So they were among those registered, but they had not gone to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. So the Holy Spirit's like, I'll just pour out. I don't care if you didn't come to the meeting. I'm just going to pour myself out on you anyway. So that's the sort of that one of those things where we see the Holy Spirit anointing for leadership. And then in verse 29, Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. So we see the Holy Spirit anointing those leaders for their role in leadership, the Spirit coming on them. 1 Samuel 11:16. I'm going to turn there. This is in the early part of Saul's life, before he kind of lost the plot. 1 Samuel 11:6. I'm sorry. If you're one person that wants to do a whole bunch of notes, again, email me. I'll just send you all these references. If I don't want you to freak out. There's no desks. I know it's hard. But 1 Samuel 11:6 says this. And the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words. What happened was there was a tragedy, something really bad had happened in the nation, and Saul had just become leader. And it says, the Holy Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger was greatly kindled. So we see the Holy Spirit coming on Saul in this critical leadership moment. 1 Samuel 16:13, just a few chapters later, we see the Holy Spirit coming on David. 1 Samuel 16:13. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. It's interesting that from everything I can see in the Old Testament, this is the only person that says from that day forward. We'll talk about David. It could be that his experience of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was different maybe than others. But you see the Holy Spirit coming on David. 1 Chronicles 12:18. This is kind of a neat one. This is later in David's life when he was getting chased around the desert. 1 Chronicles 12:18. There was some sort of ruffians and warriors that were not really connected. Loose cannons is what they look like to me. But God brought them out to the desert to meet with David. And in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord clothed one of these guys, Amasi, chief of the 30. And he said, we are yours, O David, and with you, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for God helps you. And then David received them and made them officers of his troops. So you see the Holy Spirit coming on these sort of loose cannons, you know, and then connecting themselves to David's ministry. There's an anointing from the Holy Spirit for the role they were going to play. Isaiah 61:1. This one is quite a well-known scripture. You'll recognize it as soon as we read it, probably. 61:1. This is Isaiah. And like so many things in Old Testament prophecies, there's sort of near fulfillments, and there's sometimes even multiple fulfillments of a scripture into the future. Like if you look across the Strait of Georgia on a beautiful summer night and you see the mountains there, they're kind of purple, right? You can tell there's mountains behind each other, but you have no idea the distance between them, you know. But you know that you can't really tell what's there. Many times in the Old Testament, there was scripture that God gave the prophets or the people who were writing. There's maybe a near fulfillment, but there was this thing where there was something else that showed up maybe in Christ's life, 1,500 years later, 1,000 years later, and maybe even in the second return of Christ. So there's these levels of Scripture, and Isaiah 61:1 is one of those ones. And of course, Isaiah is saying, the Spirit of the God is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of the prison for those who are bound. Of course, we know the story when Jesus started his public ministry, he opened the scroll to this point. And he said, today, in your presence, this scripture has been fulfilled. So this was true for Isaiah, I believe. The Spirit of the Lord was on Isaiah for his ministry, but it was a prophetic picture of also what was coming in Jesus' life, too. So we see kind of a double fulfillment. There's lots of other places where you see, thank you, I hear it, but there, good job. There's lots of other places, but I just want to give you some highlights. So one of the things you see in the Old Testament is the Holy Spirit comes on people for leadership positions. Next thing you see is he came on individuals for victory in war. And we won't look up these just for time tonight, but I'll just read a couple of them. In Judges chapter 3, the Spirit of the Lord came on a man named Othniel to deliver from the Mesopotamians. Mesopotamians. The potato, the electric lights, if you know the book of Judges, there's kind of cycles. I think if I remember right, there's seven cycles in the book of Judges where they mess up and then God brings a deliverer and restores them and then they fall away. Seven times they do that through the book of Judges. And many of these judges that he raises up by name, he says the Spirit of God came on them. For this man, the Spirit of the Lord came on him. In Judges 6, the Lord clothed Gideon to deliver from the Midianites. This is another terminology you see in the Old Testament of trying to describe what when the Holy Spirit comes on someone, they're clothed by the Holy Spirit. In Judges 11:29, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Jephthah to deliver from the Ammonites. So we see the Holy Spirit coming for specific tasks in warfare and in deliverance for the nation militarily. So not only leadership and victory in war, but we also see, of course, prophecy. And this is probably the one you see more than anything in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 10:6, let's turn there. Again, this is Saul. 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. Then the Spirit, so he's speaking, Samuel's speaking to Saul, and he's talking about, Saul says, well, how am I going to know that, you know, this is the real deal, I'm supposed to be king? And he says, then the Spirit of the Lord will rush on you, and you will prophesy with them, these prophets that he said he was going to run into, and you'll be turned into another man. And sure enough, if you read the paragraph, that's exactly what happened. So the Spirit of God came on Saul. This is in the early days of his ministry, kind of before he lost the plot. But we see the Spirit's anointing for prophecy, and he speaks in prophecy. A little bit later, in 1 Samuel 19, this is a hilarious one. I put some wacky ones in tonight because I want you to see how creative the Holy Spirit is. So this is later in Saul's life when he's messed up. He's chasing David, and he's like super messed up. 1 Samuel 19, verse 20. One of those times when Saul finds out where David is, he's going to go send guys to take him and to kill him. Then Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets, these prophets were hanging around with David, prophesying, and Samuel standing at the head over them, the Spirit of God came on the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So Saul sends out his guys to get David, and they're like wrecked, you know, prophesying. The Spirit of God comes in them. So when it was told to Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. The Holy Spirit falls on this next group of like soldiers, right? And they're prophesying. Then he went to Ramah and the great well there, and he sends another group, and the same thing happens. As the story goes along. Finally, Saul himself goes, look, these idiots, you know, let's go get David. And the Holy Spirit comes on Saul, even as messed up as he was, and he's wrecked prophesying. He ends up with his clothes off, laying on the ground, you know. So the Holy Spirit just does amazing things sometimes in very unlikely situations, but these are in the context of prophetic. 2 Chronicles 24:20. You want to go back there a couple of books. I hope you're okay. I'm just giving you a lot of highlights tonight, but I want you to see the kinds of things the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 24:20. And that says, the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said, thus says God, why do you break the commandments of the Lord? And he goes on this big prophetic message that he brings to the people. So the Spirit of God's anointing this man to bring a very critical message to the people of God. Nehemiah 9:30. There's lots of times in the Bible where writers of the Bible are kind of looking back over the history of Israel, and they're making observations about what God's done and how the Holy Spirit's worked. This is a good one. Nehemiah 30 is a good illustration of that. Nehemiah is speaking to the people. He says, for many years you bore with them, meaning God bore with the people of Israel, and warned them by your spirit through your prophets, but they would not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hands of the peoples of the land. So Nehemiah is looking back and saying, the Spirit has been speaking to us all along. We just have been ignoring it. That was Nehemiah 9, 30. This is a tough night for a guy with numeric dyslexic. I get the numbers backwards. But, now we get to Ezekiel. And man, if you want to read about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, this book, Ezekiel, is full of the Holy Spirit. This guy was crazy. He can't believe the stuff that he did under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel is just a very, very interesting guy, but I'll just give you a couple of illustrations. In the beginning of his call and his ministry in Ezekiel 2:2, just give you some highlights in Ezekiel's life. And the more I look at Ezekiel and the Holy Spirit, this is probably the most significant book in the Old Testament, really, on what the Holy Spirit's up to. And Ezekiel has these incredible adventures with the Holy Spirit. But Ezekiel 2:2, he said, son of man, stand on your feet, I'll speak with you. And he spoke to me, and the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he goes on and gives him this message about his ministry, what he was calling him to. Ezekiel 11:5, you won't look it up. The Spirit of the Lord falls on Ezekiel, and he brings a message of deliverance, a message of judgment to the evil counselors that were messing the nation up. So we see that. Ezekiel 37, of course, that passage we know, the dry bones passage, the Spirit comes on him and enables him to prophesy. The Spirit says, prophesy to the bones, and there's this rattling, and you know, the sinews come together. And so you see the Holy Spirit coming on Ezekiel, and just many, many more instances in the book of Ezekiel. But Micah 3:8 is kind of a neat one. If you can find Micah, it's on page 1226, if that helps. Probably not. Somebody always takes Micah out of my Bible, so I've learned to look impressive to you, I write the number down. I just go right to it. Micah 3:8. This is kind of a neat one in terms of Micah's experience. Micah 3:8 says, but as for me, I'm filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare Jacob his transgression and Israel his sin. So Micah has this experience of the Holy Spirit coming on him and having this burden to be able to communicate this message to the people. And then Zechariah 7:12, we'll look at one more and we'll go on, but just to give you an idea of Zechariah's experience, a taste of the Holy Spirit in his life, Zechariah 7:12. Zechariah 7:12. Zechariah says, speaking of the people in the past, they made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. So we see that many, many times when the Holy Spirit comes on someone in the Old Testament, they're speaking and they're prophesying. It's one of the key things we see in the Old Testament, Zechariah 7:12. And then we see the Holy Spirit kind of in a different experience coming on individuals to bring encouragement. So this is kind of a neat role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 15:1. Says, and the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, who was the king, and he said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, you'll be found. And he brings this incredibly encouraging message by the Holy Spirit to the people who were so discouraged. In verse 9, Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Obed. He took courage, and he put away the detestable idols and cleaned up the house and got back on the right track. So the Holy Spirit comes on people in the Old Testament to bring encouragement in difficult times. Like, you can do this. God is with you. Move forward. Do what you need to do. 2 Chronicles 20:14, another one that's neat in that area, an encouragement. They were in a bad place here. This is Jehoshaphat. the big army surrounding them. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. And this is verse 14. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of another guy, son of another guy, son of another guy, a Levite, son of Aph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed by this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So there's this encouragement. The Holy Spirit comes on this man and he speaks this word of encouragement. And sure enough, the battle just is incredible what God does. So we see the Holy Spirit coming on individuals for encouragement in the Old Testament. Also see the Holy Spirit bringing visions when he comes on individuals in the Old Testament. And again, Ezekiel's the king of all this stuff. But let's go back to the book of Ezekiel 3:12. Probably a pretty well-known passage if you've read a little bit of the Old Testament. This is the wheel within the wheel deal. The Lord gives Ezekiel this incredible vision. But Ezekiel 3:12 says, "Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the Lord of the glory in this place. It was the sound of the wings and the living creatures," and he goes on. So the Holy Spirit's coming and bringing him this vision of this amazing thing that God wants him to see. In 8:3, this is kind of a fun one. I put some wacky ones in just for fun, but this wouldn't have worked too well for me. But in 3, he put out, the Spirit put out the form of a hand, and he took me by a lock of my head. So Ezekiel must have had long hair. So the Spirit grabs him by the hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me to visions of God in Jerusalem. So, you know, just crazy stuff the Holy Spirit's doing. And to tell you the truth with Ezekiel, I'm not sure that some of these aren't actually transportations. Ezekiel's an amazing guy. Remember what happened? We'll get to it in a couple of weeks. But Air Philip, I call it, where Philip was in one place and the Holy Spirit just sort of jettisoned to another place. I think Air Ezekiel was the original Air guy. Because I think not some of this is not necessarily visions. I think the Holy Spirit was taking him places. Not sure, but he has a wild life. But anyway, he grabs him by the hair. Ezekiel 43:5, another time the Holy Spirit comes on him and shows him something amazing. 43:5. Ezekiel 43:5. "The Spirit of the Lord lifted me up and brought me into the inner court." This is right in the center of the Holy of Holies in the temple. "And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple," and God shows him this amazing vision. So sometimes the Holy Spirit came on people in the Old Testament. They had these amazing visions of who God is. Sometimes the Holy Spirit came on people for creative activity. And this is a wonderful scripture in Exodus 31. We always kind of think about the Holy Spirit, you know, for leadership and winning wars and all these sort of glamorous upfront things, but this is just a great scripture, particularly for those of you that are artists or musicians or you're creative. Listen to what the Lord did in Exodus 31:3. I'll start back in the beginning of chapter 31. "The Lord said to Moses, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and with intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting stones and settings and carving wood and to work in every craft." So this is kind of cool. The Holy Spirit's coming and anointing a tradesman, a craftsman for these incredible things that were being created in the temple. So just the neat illustration of the creativity of the Holy Spirit. It's not always about for some really super big leadership thing. It's just an anointing for creative art, if you want to call it that. You see this in other times with musicians as well. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals to provide guidance. Look at Psalm 143:10. I know this is like a jackhammer tonight, but I'm just trying to give you a breath. Not every week will be this attack with Scripture, but you see what I'm trying to get you to do, just to see the variety of when the Holy Spirit shows up, what he's doing in the Old Testament. Psalm 143:10. This is a psalm of David, and we see David in a place where he's, you know, he's again trying to figure out what to do, and a lot of the psalms are that way, but Psalm 143:10 says this. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. So we see people in the Old Testament seeking God and the Holy Spirit coming and giving them wisdom or giving them direction or giving them guidance. This is a fun one. Ezekiel, again, anything wacky is Ezekiel usually. Look at Ezekiel 3:24. Now you're all curious to go and read Ezekiel, aren't you? Ezekiel 3:24. Ezekiel 3:24 says, "But the Spirit of the Lord entered into me and set me on my feet and spoke to me and said to me, 'Go shut yourself up within your house. And you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed on you, and you should be bound with them so you cannot go out among the people. And I'll make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so you shall be mute and unable to reprove them.'" So the Holy Spirit comes on Ezekiel to get him to shut up. How many of you have ever felt the Holy Spirit come on you and say, "Don't say that"? Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. So I just love that it's not always about making a big prophetic message. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and says, "Shh, don't say that," or at least not right now. So I love that anointing on Ezekiel. And then there's just some really unlikely ones. I wanted to throw a couple in tonight. Just things that I would not have expected from God. Numbers 24:2. These are the head scratchers for me, or a couple of them. Numbers 24:2. This is the story of Balaam. Balaam was basically a cultic mercenary who would curse people for money. There's nothing God about Balaam. It was all about sorcery and divination, and nations would pay this dude to come and curse people, you know? I mean, talk about a twisted guy. And sure enough, the enemies of the nation of Israel have hired this guy. This is the guy with the donkey, by the way, if you remember that story. But so when we look in Numbers 24:2, "Then Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe." He's about to disgorge this horrible demonic curse on the people. "And the Spirit of the God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said this amazing blessing for the people of God." So the Holy Spirit even falls on just witch doctors is the best I can do for what this guy looks like to me. And yet the Holy Spirit's coming on him, and then there's this amazing blessing. Of course, the guy who hired him is like, "Hello, I want my money back. That's not what you're supposed to be saying. Let's try another hill." And sure enough, he does it again, and Spirit comes on again. There's this other blessing, but just wacky stuff. But I want you to see how creative and how unexpected the Holy Spirit is. But the strangest one of all to me, and I've always wondered about this one, is in Judges 14:6. I just don't get this. Samson. What a playboy. What a self-centered rich kid, strong guy, good-looking womanizer. I mean, I don't know how else to describe Samson. He's always chasing somebody else's wife, or, you know, trying to marry a prostitute. The guy just seems like he's all about his own stuff, his own image, his own whatever he wants to do. It seems like he kills people for sport. I don't get Samson. But the Lord got Samson. Look what it says in Judges 14:6. "Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion to pieces as one tears a young goat." Why in the world Samson? Look at 14:19, just a couple verses later. "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And he went down to a place and struck 30 men down in the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those he told the riddle to." It's such a strange, it's like he lost a bet, so I'll just go kill a bunch of guys and take their clothes and pay off the bet. And the Holy Spirit is coming on this guy. I don't understand this. 15:14, just one more. 15:14. The Spirit of the Lord came to Lehi. The Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. You know this thing where his girlfriend does this thing, this joke, and you know the whole gig. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and the ropes were on his arms became as flax and that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. Why in the world is the Holy Spirit coming on this guy? I don't have an answer for that. But the Holy Spirit is doing amazing things all throughout the Old Testament in some ways that seem very strange to me, choosing people who I don't think would be very worthy of an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and yet you see this all throughout the Old Testament. But there's one thing that we do need to think about, which is pretty sobering, and this is a big, big difference between what we're going to see next week when we start in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit also departs from people in the Old Testament. And 1 Samuel 16:14 is probably the saddest illustration of that. 1 Samuel 16:14. This is in Saul's life when he had started to get so messed up toward the end of his life. Remember we read the story earlier? The Holy Spirit came on Saul in the early part of his kingship. He was doing amazing things for God, but Saul kind of lost the plot. And in 16:14 it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him." I don't understand that either. But the Holy Spirit leaves Saul, departs from Saul. Remember I said David might be different? I don't know for sure, but we're pretty familiar with Psalm 51. If you want to turn there, we know this one. But in light of that reality of the Holy Spirit coming and anointing for a purpose in the Old Testament and sometimes lifting or leaving, Psalm 51 sounds a little more serious when you think about it. Remember David, what I read earlier, the Holy Spirit came on him and remained on him. It's the only one I can find in the Old Testament like that. Something was unique about David. He was, he was a man after God's own heart, but there was just something unique about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But after that uber screw-up, where he, you know, took another guy's wife and killed the guy in deceit and this just super horrible tailspin in David's life, in Psalm 51:11, as he's crying out to God after he gets called on the carpet by the prophet, he says to God, "Cast me not away from your presence." What? "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Now, those words are huge because you can bet he saw that happen to Saul, his predecessor. Matter of fact, if you look back in that verse where Saul, the Holy Spirit, leaves Saul, the very next, one of the verses before or after it, the Holy Spirit's coming on David. So David saw the results of a king who started well and was anointed with the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit departed from, and how messed up Saul, at the end of his life, he's trying to talk to a witch and get some direction. You know, he's so messed up. So when you look at Psalm and say in Psalm 51, "Take not your Holy," you hear the cry of David, "I've messed up so badly, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me." So we see the Holy Spirit leaving and departing. One more thing and then we'll draw some conclusions and we'll take a break here. In the New Testament, stick with me, it's kind of like Back to the Future. You know how confusing the second Back to the Future was? Where are we, here or there, or did we go, is this ahead or, yeah. We're looking back at the Old Testament from the New Testament now. And there's some interesting perspectives on the filling of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, looking back from New Testament writers. So I won't look them up right now. We see them in Matthew talking about the Holy Spirit anointing people for the things they wrote in Acts 1:6, Acts 4:8, and Acts 28. Talks about the Holy Spirit coming on writers and writing the Old Testament, basically, looking back on them. Probably the most clear one is in 2 Peter 1:21. Let's do look that one up. We'll stop with this, but 2 Peter 1:21. This is Peter looking back, really, across all Scripture and all time. Some of the New Testament had been written, but he's looking back across all the prophetic writings and all the Old Testament. In 2 Peter 1:21, he says this: "No prophecy was ever produced by the will of a man, but men spoke by God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So in the New Testament, we see them looking back and recognizing what they had in the Bible in the Old Testament. That was actually anointed and given by the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of a significant perspective in looking back. But that's a quick overview of some of the things that the Holy Spirit was doing in the Old Testament. coming for guidance, coming for creative activity, for visions, for leadership, for victory in war, for prophecy, to bring encouragement, just all kinds of things that were going on. But one of the most exciting things about the Holy Spirit's ministry, if you read carefully in the Old Testament, is there are also some prophecies about something new that was going to come. Because up to this point, or throughout the whole Old Testament, it seems like the Holy Spirit's ministry is he comes on people for a particular purpose. You get the word clothed or rushed upon or came on or I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's for a period of time. It's like the Holy Spirit has something certain. He wants this guy to deliver the nation. And then you don't get the impression that the Holy Spirit stays on that person, but it's something that comes. But there are seeds in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit revealed for those that are reading carefully that, guess what? It's not always going to be this way. I'm actually going to be operating in a different mode. And just a couple of really cool ones, Ezekiel 36:27. This is a little hint for those that were reading carefully in the Old Testament. And I'm sure a lot of people, as they read this, that, hey, wait a minute, this is different. Ezekiel 36:27 says this, "And I will put my spirit within you." He's speaking of a future time. "I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to carefully obey my rules." Joel 2:28. This is the big one. Again, to impress you, it's page 1200. Joel 2:28 and 29. You'll recognize it. "And it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on your male and female servants in those days will I pour out my spirit." Now that should ring a bell, because that's a passage that Peter quoted at Pentecost. Yeah, we'll get to it in 2 weeks. So in the Old Testament, there was even the beginnings of some clues that the Holy Spirit was revealing. You know what? As neat as it is that I'm operating in this mode, coming on people, something is coming in the future where I'm going to be operating in a different way. I'm going to be in you. And it's not just going to be on leaders or special people. It's going to be on even your servants, everyone I'm going to pour myself out on. So careful readers of the Old Testament, you can sure were like, wow, we need to, what is this? Where is this, you know, how's this going to happen? This is a different kind of ministry for the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to leave us with and see about that. And 1 Peter 1:10, never saw this until a couple weeks ago when I was looking, doing the study for this. But 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 10 and 12, he says something very interesting. He's looking back on all of Scripture and prophetic writings. He's looking back all the way back to the beginning. And he says this, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories." This is the looking forward to the Messiah. But in verse 12, he says, "It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you and the things that you've now been announced to those through whom you preach the good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to look into." There were people in the Old Testament that were hungry. They knew there's clues. I don't want to be all like, you know, conspiracy theory on you, but there's things that the Holy Spirit was showing to say, guess what? My ministry is not always going to be like this. It's not always going to be a temporary coming and going. There's something new that's going to come, and he was revealing them in the Old Testament. At the end of the Old Testament, there were 400 years. Those of you guys that took creation of the cost, remember, there's 400 years when the Holy Spirit, there was no prophecy, there was no word from the Lord, there was nothing. Heaven was quiet for 400 years before Christ, before John the Baptist actually showed up on the scene. 400 years, that's a long time to not hear from the Lord. So you can imagine people reading the Scripture and saying, but look at these things, I'm going to pour myself out, you know, all these kinds of Scriptures, and the anticipation for those who were carefully thinking and listening to the Lord, Lord, what's that going to be like? What do you mean you're going to pour yourself out, Holy Spirit, on us? We don't understand that. So just very, very cool. I brought a little quote on that passage, and this is from the Expositor's Bible Commentary, but this verb, long to look into, angels long to look into, means to stoop over, to look. It implies a willingness to exert or inconvenience oneself to obtain a better perspective. Here in the present tense, it gives a continuous aspect. It means continuous regard rather than a quick look. Peter says, actually, the angels were curious about how this was all going to come down. They're created beings. They were looking into and wondering, what does this mean? The Holy Spirit's pouring himself out. So I just want you to leave you sort of with the conclusion, that quick overview of the Old Testament, that people who are reading it carefully, as wonderful as the Holy Spirit's ministry of coming on and anointing was in the Old Testament, he was promising something new. And of course, you know what's coming. In the next couple of weeks, we'll get to it. But so what conclusions can we draw from all this? Here's some things that I see as I look at the whole picture of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. One, the Holy Spirit is fully God. He's the third member of Trinity. You see him just in the same breath all the time with the Father, and he's just fully God. He's doing God things. Two, the Holy Spirit is not new. He's been active since the very beginning. We got to get over our New Testament mindset that everything is cool in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit was doing all of these things, some of which sound very familiar to us as New Testament believers, anointing for leadership, speaking for prophecy, bringing encouragement. Does that sound familiar to you as a New Testament person? Sure, it's the same Holy Spirit. And he was doing it, just operating in a different mode, maybe in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit's been operating all along in that way. Number three, the Holy Spirit operated much differently prior to Pentecost. And what I mean by this is this coming on of individuals, or the word would be clothing individuals, rushing on individuals. He descends on a person's life and then ascends when the task is done. It's a coming on and a going off, except maybe for David. I'm not sure. David might have been different, but you see the difference in that. So his mode in the Old Testament is very, very different than what we'll see after Acts 2. Number four, the Holy Spirit does what he wants, when and where he wants, and he's often full of surprises. I just tried to give you some wacky ones, but, you know, John says the Holy Spirit's like the wind. It blows where it goes, and you see it, but you don't know where it came from, where it goes. The Holy Spirit's infinitely creative. He's so not boring, and he's coming on people in unexpected ways, grabbing them by the hair and bringing them to places and coming on, you know, pagan magicians, and I mean, just unbelievable stuff. But I love this about the Holy Spirit, that he's so creative. He's so not boring. And he does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, with who he wants, because he's God. And then the last thing, God revealed to the Old Testament prophets that something new was coming in the way the Holy Spirit related to the people of God. There's an anticipation as the Old Testament closes that there's something coming. It's not, the story is not over. There's an expectation that something very new is coming.